B-Pod Studios.
Right now.
It's like they're all on laughing gas.
It's Toucher and Rich.
Slow. Yeah, everything's in slow motion.
On Boston's home for sports.
These are the kind of people that take snoozes under trees.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Playoff season, we're in round one. The Canes are winning 2-0. The Bruins losing, it's under my skin. So now it's time that we must win. The Canes are hungry, they want the cup. Let's score some goals and don't give up. More games to come, 3 rounds to go. We're gonna fight, let's give him a show.
Chorus, take it home, Mike.
Brad Marchand. We gotta beat the Hurricanes.
It's very, give me one more time. Intense.
Brad Marchand. We gotta beat the Hurricanes.
What'd you say?
Brad Marchand. We gotta beat the Hurricanes.
I didn't hear you. How about a fourth time?
Brad Marchand. We gotta beat the Hurricanes.
Well, I mean,
they love their team.
I want to ruin that anthem today. We won.
They're loyal.
Thank you, Martha. Keep going.
And they're loaded.
Black head and a K2 head.
It's the Toucher and Rich Drunken Bruins Recap.
So, I mean, we mentioned it earlier. I said that if indeed the Bruins were either tied in the series or they had won it by the time our show Friday at the Wilbur happened, then we would ask Mike behind the Mike Callahan to perform that song. Now, that seemed like a pipe dream. That seemed like something that was never going to happen down 0-2 going into the weekend. But all I could say is that the team is 2-0 ever since that rally cry was made from the great Mike behind the Mike Callahan. So I actually credit him for the turnaround. Not Swayman, not the reunion of the perfection line, Mike behind the freaking Mike Callahan.
And, you know, if you wanted tickets, they're sold out. But if you're sitting on tickets and you think you can get quadruple the amount for them now that Mike behind the Mike might step out randomly and start giving you some of this. I mean, that's the reason to go right there.
Well, and you know what? Maybe we can be nice enough to ask him also if he'll perform, you know.
Octoplets.
Which is the one that your personal favorite.
That's all I'm waiting for. That'd be great. Now, the new stuff is fine, but, I mean, you got to lean on the old stuff.
But this one's all about, like, the mojo, keeping it rolling.
Of course.
But that's about putting it into the universe.
But if you go to a concert, you know, you go, all right, I'll sit through this while, you know, the new one while they're still hot. And then it's time to get to the, like, you know, what puts you on the mountain.
Spend the evening waiting.
Little kids everywhere I turn.
Crank out the hits here. I mean, that's what I'm here for.
Shut up and play the hits. I mean, that's what the people want. All right, young Nicholas Jamelli, he who at one point was so ill that he had not been able to get in touch with anyone. His fiance, his wife, is now his wife. Walks into his house, is greeted with it smells like a dirty old pig pen.
Mm-hmm.
And there is Nick lying covered head to toe in his own feces.
So I think every time we get a new affiliate, we have to tell that story.
Oh, that's right.
Hello. On the first day.
Introduce everyone to the show.
So, to the good people of Northampton and Springfield, Massachusetts.
Northampton, which we figured out is in Massachusetts.
So just know that Nick Jamelli, the gentleman who is our affiliate relations director.
So there was like an email chain. It's like, I don't think Northampton is in
No. They said Northport. Like, and I was like, it's Northampton.
Northampton.
Yeah, I was just along for the ride, but it was funny when they were like making this press release.
Right.
You probably read it. It was on the cover of the New York Times.
Right.
That I appreciate it. I'd like to start making some money. But it was funny. No one could figure out where Northampton was.
Someone said Northport. I'm like, it's Northampton.
Regardless of the problem, it was humorous. It's no insult to the people of Northampton.
Is it someone who read it wrong? Yeah.
Yeah, it's just that it wasn't Rich. It was the people involved in this whole stuff were going back and forth about where this place was located.
So it, you bring
let's put it this way, it wasn't like in Chicago.
So you bring this story up a lot on the show leading up to this, and you'd figure Nick would be used to it by now, but I have a
you
view
mean the
of
story
him.
Where he was found covered in his own feces, nude in bed, and
right,
wife had to bring him in because he almost died.
And his then like girlfriend, now him. Wife, had to save his life. Yes,
and she's shaking him. She's shaking him. She looks at her hands. It was just like she was baking chocolate souffle.
So you'd figure Nick, because we brought it up on the show a lot, would be used to it. But I have a view of him over your shoulder. And when you started talking about it, and Nick knew where you were going, the head shakes and he puts his arms.
Well, that's all right. There's nothing to be ashamed of. I mean, you should.
The eyes roll up. It's like, oh, not again.
Well, I mean, how highly can you speak of his wife now? She married him, even though he was covered in his own poo.
That's right,
from head to toe.
You will never look worse to her in your life than you did at that moment.
If it was in his hair, I mean, if it got up in his nose, who knows?
So if there's anything you great listeners in Springfield take away from today's show, it's that Nick was found nude, covered in feces, and half dead by his
now,
girlfriend.
I don't think she called an ambulance either, so I think she got Nick and put a poo-covered Nick in her car. Maybe still nude.
No, it was like the scene
is
in
that
Swamp.
Right, Nick?
It was like the scene in Swamp Thing where she's carrying the woman out.
Yeah. Oh, she couldn't have lifted kid. Nick. That butt.
That sweet, supple butt.
Nick's got a low center of gravity. That's true. That
he's all woman.
That's true. He's like her own version of Lonnie Smith.
I think he's more of a
now
Terry
you're
Pendleton.
My sweet spot. Yeah,
maybe
that's
we go,
perfect.
Maybe
oh,
we,
I get it now.
Maybe we go more Terry Pendleton.
I think he's more right, Terry Pendleton. Yeah. Okay. Dave was an MVP when he hit 301. So that was well deserved.
Cheeks for weeks.
Oh yeah, he's got a very round bottom. But so she's lifting him into a car, and then I mean, how long to get the poo smell out of your car? It goes without saying.
You got to detail that some bitch quick.
And then to the medical professionals, I mean, at what point do you hose the kid off? All right, anyway, Nick was out at the garden.
Doing great work.
Yeah, bathed. He's fine now.
He was clean, yes.
Yeah. He's fine now. And here he is out in front of the garden talking to the fans.
All right, what's your name?
My name is Denny G. You think you can win the f***ies? You gotta come through Boston first. It don't f*** matter. Woo!
All right, hold on. Don't lick my phone. Hold on. Can we use this for the radio?
You can use anything you want on the radio.
He licked your phone? All right, man.
Ooh. Yeah, this is...
that's a boundary right there.
That's detox. That's not good.
After a Bruins win, this isn't the hardest job in the world.
Right, just basically you just fall into a crowd and let it roll.
These are guys that started drinking about, like, I don't know, 6 in the morning. So these guys have been going for a while. Still light outside. There's still bars to go to.
My name's Danny G. I don't give a f- Boston Bruins. Let's go.
All right, talk to me about the game. Wait, hold on. You guys do the whole thing.
Hey,
talk to me about the game.
It wasn't even the perfection line tonight. Our players came through. It wasn't our stars. It was our f- position players. We are Boston. We are blue collar. F*** you.
All right. Swayman, talk to me about Swayman.
Jeremy Swayman deserves a starting spot. Tuukka Rask, he's a bitch. Aww. Jeremy Swayman is the best to ever live.
All right, Jesus Christ.
You want to come through, we kill you. What in it?
If you could say anything to the Boston Bruins, what would it be?
I'd say the Hurricanes ride hard, boy, with that nor'easter. Let's go.
You have a party.
I said
Pretty
a lot, I know.
I have a question for you guys.
That guy's like, yeah, I know, I said that for a lot, I know.
So the country club I belong to, which I am at almost every day.
Right.
I've been there like 7 months. It comes out with a guide, like with all the rules, which, you know, I read thoroughly. And then it has a directory of all the members. And I am in there. Tuukka Rask not in there. Now, what is your guys' opinion of that?
Is that he's more important than you?
No, no. I'm not comparing him to me.
He's in that special thing where you can ask to not be in it.
It could be.
Your feelings on that.
I think that he is someone who has, I think that you need to ask just so you can feel you're as important as Tuukka Rask. I bet people go through and goes, who's unimportant? All these.
I'm not comparing himself to me. I would not doubt. I never it would occur to me not to be listed. It's a private club. Like, why can't you have your information in there?
How many people do you think would be calling Tuukka Rask for you? You said that he's swamped every time he comes in there.
How many people would call? I mean,
hey, Tuukka, what's up? It's Bill. Talked the other day at the old turnaround.
I would like to think nobody.
Is that what it's called? The turn?
The turn. Yeah.
Okay. Right. I don't play golf.
I understand. Turn around. I understand what you meant.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was the one who said, hey, it's some nice relish you got there on your hot dog.
I am going to say that no one, in all honesty, that no one would call him unsolicited. It's a private club.
I would say you're insane. Some guy, hey, man, listen, I got this auction going, you know, raising a little money for the old school down the street.
Maybe email.
What if you could be somebody's buddy for a day? Maybe go on vacation with them, what do you say?
I don't know, man.
Help him build a backyard rink.
I don't know. I thought it was weird. I thought for sure you would be in it. Because it's a private club directory. And I did look. But it wasn't in there. All right. Here is someone else that Nick talked to.
So what's your name?
I'm Bruins Hogan, brother.
And who are you?
Bruins Lair. Woo!
Can we use this for the radio?
Oh, hell yeah!
All right, talk to me about today's game.
Well, let me tell you something, brother. We came into Boston down 2-0, backs against the wall, and we turned it around, and now it's 2-2 going to Carolina. And I got one question for Carolina. What you gonna do when Pasta Mania runs wild on you?
Ric Flair, too sweet to be sour.
Yeah.
The Tower of Power. We are coming through. Game 6, game 5, it doesn't matter. We are taking this series whether you like it or not. You best believe.
The Nature Boy ain't bringing a lot. Because
Hogan is the star of the show. It doesn't matter if Flair's here, if the Warrior's here, or Hogan is here.
Look at this.
Hey, brother.
All the
Hulkamaniacs.
All the
Hulkamaniacs.
Hey, brother.
All right,
this is chaos.
Carolina themselves today, baby. Let's go, B.
That was the mean Gene Okerlund.
So Nick had to remove himself from the scrum. It got too dangerous.
It just became a Bruins Avenger Brodeo at one point.
It's great.
And you said, is it Ric Flair just kind of hanging out? Woo.
Well, Ric Flair, he talked. He was too sweet to be sour.
Yeah.
All right. And finally, Nick out in front of the garden.
Can we use this for the radio?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
All right. Give me a recap of today's game.
We kicked some ass.
Yeah, baby. We tailed Carolina, man. We're sending them back home with bruises all over them, man.
Dude, Daddy's swimming.
Dude.
Let's go.
Oh, my God. The best game of the season, man.
Marchand.
MVP, baby. Let's go, Boston.
Wait, you call him Daddy Swayman?
Daddy Swayman.
Why Daddy Swayman?
Have my children swimming. Let's go. He made every set. He was on fire.
You got to question the sex ed department of where they went to school. So under no circumstances could he get Swayman.
It would be funny if one day he just showed Swayman showed up at the kids' door. I'd like to take up on your offer, sir.
Well, they would be both very naive on how the birds and the bees.
Fireman,
he stopped a lot of great shots.
Dude, Boston played their asses off, and we are tied 2-2. That was a well-earned win, man.
Game of the season.
That was awesome.
Big momentum.
Holy, I'm fired up, if you couldn't tell, man.
So you're feeling more confident about it?
Oh, yeah, much more confident.
Swayman showed a lot tonight over Olimar.
Daddy Swayman, right?
Daddy Swayman! Let's go!
That's right!
If you could say anything to the Boston Bruins, what would it be?
We f***ing love you, and we come watch your sports because we love you and care about you, boys. Please don't ever leave, man. Boston's where it's at, baby. Greatest Daddy sports city Swayman. In the world!
And finally, if you could say anything to Daddy Swayman, what would it be?
Swayman, have my children, please. Please, please have my mother. Take my mother. Please, please.
It is Mother's Day.
It is Mother's Day. We love my mom. I don't know where she went, but we love our mothers. Shout out all moms. You guys do a great job. We love you at these sports up like f***ing
They were at the game with their moms?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Conveniently, they left their kids aside for a while there.
Well, I mean, they didn't want to be pimped out after the game.
I understand.
Guys, my mom's available.
Daddy Swayman!
He wants him to hook up with his mom, I think he was saying.
Huh. Well, I mean,
Swayman, have
think?
My children, please. Please, please have my mother. Save my mother, please.
Listen, no one was more shocked than I, and here we are at 2-2. And as it heads back to Carolina, not easy to win in Carolina.
All the pressure's on them, though, at this point.
Yep.
I mean, after the way they played the last two games, this is a must-win game for Carolina.
It's Brenda Moron down all lost her composure yesterday.
Yes.
So.
Yep, and the Bruins are one win away from Friday night.
He's the Craigslist killer.
Performing at the Wilbur.
Yeah.
I'll go so far as to say if the Bruins get up a couple of goals, they're going to win this series in six. They get up a couple of goals tomorrow night. They win that game. They come back here. They finish it off.
These are bold statements. I still don't like them in the series, but, you know, there's definitely hope. So the hope is there. All right, we'll
Daddy
be back.
Daddy Swayman!
In just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, more Toucher and Rich.
I mean, look at us. We are just three intimidating sons of bitches.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
George Hill, a guard, will defend the inbound pass. Smart has to get it in. Does to Jaylen Brown. Brown in the paint.
There's a push-off.
Gives it up to Smart, and they're going to call a foul, but they're going to say it was basically a rip through move and not a shooting foul. So it's going to be two free throws, not three free throws, because they're over the limit.
Was there a wrangle going on in the game? Scooby-looby-doo and floopy-dooby-dang.
I heard people bitching all weekend long about that, and I'm not even going to say that that's not the real reason they lost. It was Jason Tatum. Now, that is obviously part of it. Jason Tatum was awful. He had his second worst shooting performance, I think, of the playoff career that he's had. He's playing a lot of playoff games. No. I think the main thing that they need to be looking at is just how infuriating it is when you see Tatum. He does this all the time. It's my only problem with Tatum. It's literally the only problem I have with this guy. Is that he bitches so much, and in that game, I can remember at least two times where he stayed back to bitch, and then the Bucks, who are one of the fastest teams that we've seen the Celtics play in a long time, sprinted down court and were able to score immediately. And trailing in the back is Jason Tatum getting down there. Grant Williams, you know, kind of water returned to its level a little bit in this past game.
Oh, no, but he was very vocal.
Yeah, Giannis is pretty good.
Yeah, he did the exact same thing. The bitching and not getting back down has become a problem.
Grant Williams is becoming a little situation with his vocalness. But by the way, in that game, the Celtics shot exactly double the amount of free throws that Milwaukee
did. Yeah, that's the other thing. Don't bitch about the... I mean, take a look at what happened there at the end. They had tons of free throws. Now, should they have given him three shots at the end?
Yes, they should have. I've seen dozens of guys.
They should have.
And how many times have you seen guys like James Harden or LeBron or anyone else swing those arms up, catch an arm? Okay. It's a move, but it should have been three shots.
But if you shoot to the number exactly double the amount of free throws as your opposition, it just mathematically doesn't make sense to me that you got screwed by the officials.
So Ime Udoka was actually asked about that, what I was talking about, how you have, you know, Jason Tatum, who for as good of a player as he is, he can't stop complaining. And it's one thing to complain when, you know, there's a timeout or a stoppage of play. But when they're doing a fast break down the court and you're sitting back and you're bitching, they need you. And you can't do that against the Bucks because they will make you pay. So Ime Udoka was asked about that. He said this.
Yeah, that play that I called the timeout, he gave up the three, tie game, 13-13 in the first quarter. It was one of the ones that stand out, but just a little bit too much. I mean, let me talk to the refs, let them bitch at the refs, and let's keep playing. Because we invite that physicality and don't want to be the team crying about it.
I just can't stand that. And it hurt him. It hurt him in this game.
Can you imagine if Giannis figures out how to shoot a three in this series? I mean, he's been putrid from three in this series. I mean, like, he's shooting. It's got to be something like 8% or something. No,
but again, that's mostly his career, though. So
I'm just saying. Yeah. Well, he didn't on Saturday, but he's shot a lot of threes in this series.
Yes, I know that.
Yeah. So I mean, whether it is what it is or not. Mm-hmm. Just, I'm talking about one game.
So if he has, this would be the series where he starts making them.
Like, just if he had one
lightning
game,
strikes and he like turns into a three-point
like
shooter.
One game he shoots 30%.
Yeah.
I mean, then he scores, 55?
Yeah, that it's ridiculous. Yeah. And it's like, you're going to lose.
I mean, this.
Who knew Grayson Allen was such a crappy three-point shooter in this series?
Well, he's usually great.
I know, but he's been terrible. Yeah,
game one, he was great. Since then, not so good.
Yeah. No.
Yes.
I still think the Celtics win this series. I mean, to have Jason Tatum have as awful of a game as he did, your best player just be a complete no-show, and still have it be a last second, like right there at the last second, hanging in there.
The only thing that gives me pause, and I agree, the Celtics, I could obviously see winning this series, is that game two, they shot 50% from the field. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, that's just not going to happen.
Yeah, but they also blew them out.
I mean, I know, but
it was because of their shooting, because they were so red hot.
Well, yeah.
They made all the shots in the first half.
I mean, they didn't win by a point because, but they couldn't miss, and they couldn't miss, especially in the first half. That's just not going to happen again. But go ahead, John.
You just brought up Tatum, Rich, and I think Tatum is in the exact same place that Kevin Durant was against the Celtics in the first round, and where Giannis was after the defensive shutdown of Grant Williams after game two. A great player, which Tatum is, a great player is confused about things that are happening to him on the floor. And you saw what Durant did the next night. And even though Brooklyn got swept, you saw the solo performance. I think Tatum's going to have a huge night tonight. He'll figure it out. And the shots will go down tonight. That's what great players do. Now, will the Celtics win as a result of it? I'm not sure, but you're not going to see what you saw on Sunday, or Saturday, rather, from Tatum again.
So obviously I'm all over the place on Saturday during this game, and at one point I was listening to it on the radio, and even Grandy said, he's like, you know, it was Tatum on one-on-one with Giannis, and Giannis just, like, you know, blew him away. And Grandy's like, well, why, people might go, why send help, why send help? He's like, because Tatum can't guard him one on one. Like, you got to send help. Like,
yeah.
You got it. Like, and just when he's on Giannis, I mean, Giannis just beats him up and wears him down.
And that's the other thing Milwaukee's done the entire series. It's obvious the game plan is to beat the crap out of Tatum for as long as possible. It's kind of like McAvoy with the Bruins in the playoffs last year. You have that one superstar, you beat the snot out of him and deal with the consequences afterwards.
Yeah, the Islanders, their game plan was just to hit him as much as possible.
Yes, in that second round, and you see McAvoy wore down. Jason Tatum is much bigger this year. He worked on himself over the offseason, but ultimately you got... Milwaukee has size, a few teams do. And when Brooke Lopez and Giannis are leaning on you and beating you up in the low post, it takes a toll.
What happened when the two of them got in foul trouble at the end of the first half and they had to think about it? The Celtics ran off seven straight. Yeah. And that was, I mean, yeah, you get those guys out of the game. But that, I mean, that's the story of the series. And I do worry, they got to help Tatum so he's very rarely, if ever, one-on-one on Giannis.
Well, that's why having Grant Williams out there, just to hopefully take a little bit of the beating that Giannis gives out there, helps immensely.
And Horford hasn't done a bad job either.
Horford's been excellent.
No, Horford's
excellent.
No, on defense.
Jaylen Brown and Horford, you know, have been the best players.
And what's weird, too, is I look at Brook Lopez and I look at Al Horford almost the same way. Those two should not be playing as well as they play.
No, at least Horford's athletic.
Now you forget how good a player Lopez was. He was originally with Brooklyn. You forget that he was a double-double machine he was. And now he's being forced to score because Middleton's not playing and Grayson Allen's not making threes and maybe Jrue Holiday's having an off night. And all of a sudden, there's Brook Lopez. You forget how good he was for the balance of his career. But on this roster, he is forced to do other things and not score.
Well, I mean, it showed you at the end of the first half, like, size is a big deal in this series. Mm-hmm. I mean, you remove those two, and the Celtics can score at will.
Well, you were talking about how, you know, are you looking at Tatum the same way that we looked at Kevin Durant in the first round?
Yeah.
And if you remember, you know, the first game, Kendrick Perkins went on TV and said, you know, Kevin Durant was punked. And Stephen A. was like, oh, don't you say that. You know they watch this show. You can't say that he's punked. And, well, Kendrick Perkins was on a podcast yesterday, and he talked about that moment. And listen to what happened.
This past series with the Celtics, game one, I went on first take, and I was like, KD got pumped. And so as I'm doing the show in commercial break, I look down at my cell phone, and I just see KD, right? So I'm like, in the text message. So I'm like,
oh my God.
So I open the text message, and it's just a bunch of cuss words. I mean, he's reading me my rights. I'm saying MF for this, MF for that. But you're right, though. You spot on. And I was like, all right, then, cool. I said, well, go out there and handle your business. You know what I mean? So, like, those are one of the stories.
I wouldn't trade places with Kevin Durant in a million years.
There's, oh, my God. That stop
guy,
it.
That guy, he is never going to be a happy person ever in his entire life. He's the most, like, and listen, there's a lot of times where I'm not the happiest guy in the world. But I certainly, if you're talking about me, I'm not in real time going to start texting you.
If you knew you played as poorly as he did after game one, what's the last thing you're going to do?
How about the
read
last...
the paper, turn on the radio, listen to what people are saying on TV?
Or how about not react to it? Like, don't react. Just take a moment. Go, I'm
one of the best players in the world.
For a time, I'm a first ballot Hall of Famer. For a time at least, I was the best player on the planet. I have championships. I have all this money. Like, just, like, take a time out and just relax.
Fred, that happened
seconds.
In real time.
That's
during the
pathetic.
Commercial break, his phone lights
okay,
up.
Okay, so if, I've called in to be funny, but like if Zolak and Bertrand are like, I've heard them talk crap at me, like I'm not texting them like, hey, like what are you talking about? Like, da 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 da. Like the only time I called in was when the fluff.
Oh, that's right.
Because yes. I thought it would be funny to call in.
To make him feel really bad about their take.
Yeah, to like, like go. Cause he's
a man
always
dealing with grief.
He's always busting my balls about taking a day off, and I'm like, well, I put the cat down. So, busting my balls about everything. If I work from home, if I'm calling, everything, he's busting my balls. But I'm telling you, I wouldn't trade places with the guy because he just can't. If you can't be happy in the situation that he's in, and by the way, you dictate everything on the team. Like everyone caters to you.
What else could you possibly want in life?
I don't know, and there, I don't
he
know
has
why he's so legit miserable.
Everything. He has everything he could ever ask for.
What could he want? To go back in time, stay in Oklahoma City, and win a championship.
Yes.
That's the only thing that I think could actually make
him happy.
That's
what I was saying. This guy has a psychological disorder. At least he's not playing in a city where there's any media. I mean, my God, he's in New York City.
Did you hear about how much they're saying the Nets? I don't buy it, but how much they're saying the Nets lost?
Yeah, I never believe those, but it is kind of funny how it's like, you know, $50 million.
Yeah,
or
I don't
like
believe that.
That
for a second because, I mean, obviously the Nets are worth probably about $100 million more than they were last year anyway. Yeah. Just those teams appreciate in value like that.
Well, one of the best rumors that just came out, I think it was yesterday, was that during the season, the Lakers had considered trading for Kyrie Irving.
I did read that.
And how great would that be? LeBron and Kyrie back together again. Let's make the reunion happen.
Well, I have heard more than one NBA insider guy say that they believe that that's what's going to happen. They believe Kyrie Irving's going to end up with the Lakers.
And you know what? Think about it. And more to your point, Rich, the story was the Lakers couldn't possibly have matched because they wouldn't have a player that the Nets would have wanted in return. But I'm at a point now, after watching what Kyrie was like in the playoffs and the way he handled himself all year, and I think the Nets might take pennies on the dollar to get rid of him.
Well, it's a trade to get rid of having to be in a position
with Kevin Durant's blessing, by the way.
Yeah, you're in a position where I don't want to pay the guy.
But if you're the Lakers, you're trying to fix a sinking boat by taking a jackhammer to it.
Yeah, because they're
just going to make it 10 times worse.
Because they do whatever, for some reason, even though they own the Lakers. I mean, I own the Lakers. I mean, it's pretty cool. They somehow still just go to Clutch Sports and let them do everything. Clutch Sports, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, Clutch Sports, and they just let them dictate everything, which is fascinating to me. Like, I've achieved enough in life or been born to someone who's achieved enough in life where I own the effing Lakers. Don't tell me what to do. Like, I'm not going to listen to you. Like, I don't, I own the Lakers.
And Mark Jackson is still available. Mm-hmm.
It's true.
Keep making good moves there, Lakers.
You know what?
Apparently,
I bet
he's
you they
uninterested.
Hire him.
Apparently, he's not interested.
Oh, sure, he's not interested.
Yeah. I heard that during a broadcast.
It's like the fat kid saying he doesn't want to date the prom queen.
That's right.
Sure.
I don't know. A lot comes with that. I mean, you got to not buy the telescope.
Is that a can't buy me love reference?
Yeah, I mean you're gonna mow enough lawns for a telescope.
Not bad. I would like to think I was one of the probably 2% of our listeners who caught that.
Oh, I can't imagine that. I can't believe
I'm pissed I missed it. I've seen that movie.
That's Wallach's dream.
I've seen that
damn
movie.
Damn right, I didn't have a damn lawnmower to help myself out. It would have been awesome.
We had a riding mower. I assume. And it's crazy that the girl that was, like, not even the hottest of all of them somehow found a way to find Patrick Dempsey attractive.
Yeah, because her friend who had Patrick Dempsey in the car was hotter than she was.
Oh, my God.
By miles.
She was really hot.
Yes, I would agree.
And never ever has there been a, quite as pretty.
Correct.
And never ever
ever
has a scene been paused more times. That girl had a big head, the one that he liked.
Yes. The blonde.
Yeah.
The main girl?
Yeah.
She was Annie, I think.
Oh, really?
Grown up. This is the second Annie reference in one show.
She very well might be dead. I think she is dead.
I'm going to have to look now.
I think she is. No, yeah. Life was not kind to her afterwards.
Hot top lips.
I mean, her boyfriend was at Iowa. He was a big star. I just thought that was funny. Like, wow, you cleaned up Patrick Dempsey, the heartthrob of the year.
Well, he ended up being a heartthrob, Dr. McDreamy.
Yeah, what I'm saying is you took a very good-looking guy and, like, made him ride a lawnmower, and you're like, and put glasses on him.
Yeah, that's the movie. The girl takes the glasses off, and all of a sudden, whoa, you were beautiful the whole time.
Good call. She passed away.
Yeah, yeah.
I had no idea.
Life was not kind to her.
Yeah. Been dead for about 7 years.
Now, if you really wanted to take a chance, you could have put the goofy redheaded guy and made him the star. And now...
Was that Malachi from Children of the Corn?
That was Malachi from Children of the Corn.
Oh, very nice.
I'm impressed you got that. That's not Seth Green, is it?
No.
Seth Green's in the movie.
Seth Green's the little brother who's in the back seat.
Okay.
While the guy keeps farting.
Is there a movie that was scarier when you were a kid that is more cheesy than now watching it than Children of the Corn?
Children of the Corn was just infamous. Like, I never saw it, but in elementary school.
Oh, you never watched it when you were a kid?
No, because it was like, that was like supposed to be like the scariest movie. Like, that was the sweet part. The movie I did sneak into was the Caveman movie where they're nude the whole time.
Caveman. Oh, no, Quest for Fire.
Yeah, talk about a disappointment. And we were so nervous. Like, we bought tickets to another movie and, like, walked in. And then I'm like, why am I in this theater? Like, yeah, there's boobs, but they're all got clay on them and everything. Like, I don't like these boobs at all. And I don't think there was no English dialogue in that movie. I think that was all grunts.
Yeah, because it was all prehistoric.
Yeah. But that was the movie where, like, oh, my God. And by the way, just one last thing. I read an article about the year 1982 and how it was the first year of the official summer blockbuster where they planned it out.
Let me guess. Raiders of the Lost Ark?
No, it was E.T.
Oh, E.T. Okay, so Raiders was 81, I guess.
Yeah,
and then E.T. was 82. Probably Wrath of Khan has got to be 82.
Yes.
Okay, because that was a huge movie. Oh, what else was like a big 82 movie?
Well, a movie that was not big, that did not do well until it was on video, was Fast Times at Ridgemont High. They wanted to replicate Porky's. Porky's made $200 million, or like $100 and some odd million.
Oh, geez.
Porky's. I remember like pretending that I had seen that when I was on the bus. Sex romp. You know what I watched this weekend? Coolie High.
Oh, is that Spike Lee?
No, it's a movie from 1975 about black teenagers in Chicago in 1964.
Never saw it. So
I'll tell you why it's good. It is a teen movie, like with all black characters. You never see that. It was like a teen movie, like where they're just getting into mischief and the like.
Coolie High.
Yeah. It had Freddie Boom Boom Washington was one of the stars.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
Didn't Robert Townsend like make a sequel to that?
Probably. Nothing I need to see. I watch it on YouTube.
You watched a whole movie on YouTube?
Yeah. I just
like on your computer?
Yeah, I was just sitting around bored and I was like watching the movie.
Like I can see streaming it on YouTube on TV.
I had an all-star weekend. I watched Cooley Eye on YouTube and then I went to the Red Sox game by myself. It was a real winter weekend.
You, like me, didn't see the new Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
No, that's not. I will never see that movie.
Bird was right, though. It did have a lot of sparklers.
Hey, listen.
By the way, much better than Nick and Bird give a rating. It's like a horror movie.
Yeah, Nick didn't like it.
It's too bloody for Nick.
He likes one verse, not multi.
Oh, yeah. There's straight up Jason Voorhees stuff in that movie. I was kind of shocked.
Mm. I'm controlling him. All right.
Well. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Toucher and Rich.
It sounds like the biggest nightmare. And why anyone would choose it, I don't know.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, we are the Toucher and Rich radio program. And as you know, gentlemen, I am in the middle of a massive project. And in fact, I need a shed. So you know what I thought? 55 sheds.
85 sheds. Reed's Ferry sheds. If you got a Reed's Ferry shed, that's a good. You got a good one.
Yeah. So I'm going Reed's Ferry.
All right. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Talking to sales about it. I need a Reed's Ferry shed. Mm-hmm. But that's not why I bring this up. So the guys that are doing are very good guys, and they were nice enough to come up. Now, I overestimated the amount of land I have, but still plenty to get your licks in. Still plenty.
All right. So for some of the people who don't know, including our new Springfield affiliate and Northampton, you are building a pitching cage in your backyard.
It's a batting cage. I'm going to have a jugs machine. I am going to have a mound, but I have synthetic turf. I have it's a whole situation.
All right. Do me a favor and just kind of, so you said you don't have as much yard as you thought you had. What percentage of your yard is this taking?
Now, this is only taking up half now. So it's 35 feet.
Okay.
Instead of the 70 some odd feet that I thought I could fit.
Because you don't need a full 70 feet, correct?
No, I can adjust the pitching machines and things. I'm going to have an L screen. I can still throw BP.
Okay.
And I just want the mound for the fundamentals. I don't really need the... I can make it where I get 60 feet off the mound.
Okay.
But they're great guys. I can't wait to get this done. It's going to be a little cheaper because I'm not going the 70 feet. But they did say this. They're like, most things are going to come by FedEx because everything's getting delivered to the house. Then they're going to put it together. Mm-hmm. And it's a thing that maybe Dan could put it together. But otherwise, it's like posts in the ground that like bend and they got they got like things you turn on them and stuff. It's too much, but they're saying most of it will come by FedEx, but a couple of things are going to come by freight, and they're going to tell you when they're going to come by, and you might need one or two guys for this. And I'm like, okay. And they said, like, especially the AstroTurf, and then they did the math and they said the AstroTurf is like 570 pounds. So, yeah, I might need a guy or two to help out for 570 pounds. And I told
them. How many pounds is a ton? Is it 1,000?
1,000.
Yeah, so it's half
2,000, right?
Is it 2,000?
I think it's 2,000.
Okay, all right. So
a quarter ton sounds cooler than 500 pounds.
It's a little over a quarter of a ton. So it's like 30% of a ton.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, like, A, that seems like a 10-man operation, and B, no. Like, no. I'm not doing that.
500 pounds? Wow, that's like six Wallachs.
That is true.
Not anymore, it's not.
Maybe if you played Pitbull.
Slightly fewer than that.
you got to make weight for the Dungeons and Dragons tournament.
That's right.
They don't like anyone over a buck 20.
And all the Cheetos that get eaten during that tournament.
Yeah, I mean, you got
to be a one or a zero to go to the Dungeons and Dragons. You got to be shaped like either a stick. Or
I used to be a one. That's not the case anymore.
Come on.
Yeah. So the 500-pound thing. I'm like, no. I there's not a scenario where I can get 500 pounds out of a truck and into my lawn. I
you can't just call your beefcake friends?
No. See, I don't live around a bunch of beefcake. And can you imagine, like, asking, like three or four guys, like, hey, guys, you want to come over, like, on a Tuesday afternoon and unload this 570-pound thing with me? beers are on me.
And the Hunk Patrol just comes over?
Yeah, and like a bunch of guys are just like, Freddie, we got your back.
Then you guys can play some volleyball in the backyard?
Yeah, so we'll have to figure out a way that I am not responsible for the 570 pounds. Now, I know some of you out there are listening, and you have like real jobs that require you to do great feats of strength. I am not that person. Nor do I have the kind of friendships where I could call over four dudes to, like, come help me lift something.
You could call Ted Johnson and Mike Flynn, you know, get them help.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, Flynn would love it.
Flynn come down from Maine.
Yeah, Flynn would be there in a jiff.
Ted would do it.
I mean, Flynn would come over to my house, but I don't think he would come over to lift the 500 pounds.
But Ted would come over to lift things.
Ted might want to be paid.
Ted would walk in like commando style and just like put it over his shoulder, all this stuff.
Where's this AstroTurf you need lifted?
Do you think that Ted could legitimately get that off the ground by himself?
No.
I don't.
No, because you'd have to be able to hold it. I mean, it's...
Deadlift that thing?
Like, just dead weight, 570 pounds. There's no way he could pick that up.
No. Can he squat that much?
Oh, it's a good question. I bet you he could when he was playing.
What if it was him and, of course,
you got our beefs, bro.
Joe Murray.
Do that? I know Ted was telling me about his son, who's apparently just as jacked as Ted is.
Like, do you guys know, like, four dudes that, like, this would be a random day, too, like, that it's coming over, like, four guys you could call and just be like, hey, will you help me lift this?
I would never do that to my
friends. I know you wouldn't, but could you?
I have friends.
I have friends,
if we
too.
Had, like, if it was, like, a Gulliver's Travel situation where it's, like, all of us little guys trying to pick up this big thing, sure, it would work.
It's just, like, I have friends, but not four that I could invite over. Like, I have trouble getting people to the Red Sox game. like imagine asking them
to hang out and do nothing.
For free. You get in for free. You're with me.
Yeah.
But, like, no, that's just not going to happen, so...
Just go to the bar on the street. Gentlemen, who wants to get jacked and drink beer?
Yeah, exactly.
And all of a sudden, the Fabulous Thunderbirds show up.
Oh, beer. Yeah. Something I could buy easily on my own. Maybe, like, I'm going to barbecue some dogs and some brats, and, you know, I'll have all the beer you can drink.
Sure, monopolize all my time.
Yeah, it'd make me do something I really don't want to do. So, anyway... Today I pay for it, and so
the process has begun.
Tom, go ahead.
Hey, I actually work for a freight company, and if you don't have equipment, they'll usually send a tailgate, and they'll be able to get it off the truck for you.
Okay, good. And I just have to tip them?
No, you don't have to do that if they have a gate. But you can.
Yeah. Because my first inclination is, like, how much money do you want? Just take the money. Like, I don't want anything to do with this. Just take. What do you want? I'd open my wallet. Like, hey,
just please. I don't want to touch this.
Take what you think you deserve. I don't know. But if you're out there listening and you have four friends that you could call over at a moment's notice to help you lift something that heavy, just know that you live in Everett. All right, we'll be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com.
text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.